Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, it's Thursday the 14th of March. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I'll be headlining the Pyramid Stage for the 5th time, in my dreams. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we hike across the green fields of the British press, swinging our metal detector over its rustly pages in the hope we uncover a jewel-encrusted Viking burial pile or a Roman gold hoard, not just another pile of empty Coke cans. Yes, The Sun, I am thinking of you. Please do some news. A huge thank you up front to all of you who've joined the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Why not join us and them? They're so darn cool, funding independent media at a time when fake news threatens to take over. From just £3.60 a month, supporters can get the show ad-free, and the extra bit for supporters brings you more laughs every weekday. Go on, there's a link in the show notes. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Tick, tick, boom, the US House of Representatives passes a bill that could ban TikTok over alleged links to the Chinese Communist Party. That sinking feeling, Australian plutocrat threatens to relaunch the Titanic. And, all in all, it's just another brick in the mail. Samantha Brick has never been dumped, not like you, you loser. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we're topping up our coffee. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and with me today is writer and white Americano one sugar please for Coco Khan.
Hello there.
And also with me is comedian and oat latte haver Daniel Fox.
Hello, thank you.
Coco, what are the broadsheet front pages looking like today?
Right, so on the front page of The Eye, we have Tory reliance on race row major donor revealed. And The Guardian, we've got Abbott accuses Tories of playing race card as Hester row intensifies. On The Times, deaths from cancer in middle age fall by a third.
Oh, some good news.
Yeah, that is nice, isn't
it? Yeah,
it's
great.
Oh, that's good. Well, don't worry, because you've got the Telegraph
next.
Oh,
good.
And that's Gove to identify Muslim groups as extremists. And yes, that means really any Muslim group.
Right.
So
okay.
I think that would be
good news. Yes.
Maybe just like don't stand in groups of more than two.
And Daniel, you've got the tabloids.
I do. Lucky me. So the Daily Mail has gone with Shap's back spending 3% on our defence. Minister calls for cash boost for more dangerous world about the increase, well, the push to increase military spending. There's also at the top, Mail readers and columnist Bell Mooney uniting to say, give Kate a break.
And pages 4 and 5,
pages
so
four.
Extensive coverage, giving
it is
her a break
a
there.
Real, yeah, they're really, really just letting her off. They're not talking about it, stop. The Sun, the biggest news is Maddie cops in manhunt, search for suspects, partner in crime, which is about a big armed police hunt for a man that they think might be linked to Madeleine McCann's disappearance. The Mirror has gone with a new low about the same old nasty party, the Tories refusing to hand back the donor's £10 million, mm-hmm. who was a racist. And then finally, the Daily Star, big news is the Titanic Part 2, again, about the remake of the yes. very successful Titanic voyage.
I mean, who wouldn't want to go at that?
Who could ever possibly not be tempted, which we're going to talk about later.
Now, we did talk about this yesterday quite a lot, but Rishi Sunak is coming under more and more pressure over this 10 million quid he's accepted from Frank Hester, who made comments suggesting, among other things, that Diane Abbott should be shot, quote. Coco,
yes.
Are they going to have to give it back?
Well, you know, not that I have an enormous amount of sympathy from them, but from their perspective, it's a very difficult decision to make because, as The Eye have revealed on their front page today, 21% of their election war chest comes from this donor, Frank Hester. We're on our way to an election. They will need every penny that they can get. They're already standing to lose just an enormous amount of seats. It's help that they need. So I think they'll be quite reluctant to. However, the nature of the comments are so egregious and so clear as day. It's hard to imagine that it won't follow that conclusion. If it does, I think it will be something that the Labour Party can continue to like whip them with all the way through election. And it will cause consternation to a number of Conservative voters. Because even though the Conservative Party have tacked to the right, their normal base, their shyer base, don't like such extreme things like this. They like things to stay as they are and to be peaceful. And, you know, so it's bad news for them all round, which is good news for anyone who is not voting for them. But overall, it's a very depressing week because, you know, it's horrible to hear these comments circulated and have to put them into the public domain and inevitably have the kind of backlash where people say, oh, is it really racist? It's really horrible. And it's
kind of pretty racist.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite clearly very racist. But it's lowered the tone. I often have this moment where I think to myself, how low can public discourse get in politics? And it turns out there are depths to plumb. And this is an example of that.
Now over to the United States, where they might be about to ban social media site TikTok. TikTok is the fifth biggest social network on Earth, ranked by number of monthly users after Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp and Instagram. But the US House of Representatives alleges that its owner, ByteDance, has links to the Chinese Communist Party. ByteDance denies this. Now, look, I am far too middle-aged to understand TikTok. But Daniel, I bet you're well into it, you whippersnapper. So what is it? What's it all about? What's happening here?
I'd like to give you a completely impartial view of TikTok. I have no, you know, there's no bias in that it only provides most of my annual income. And I'd just like to take this moment to say, you know, all respect to President Xi Jinping for the... listen, it's a very popular social media sort of, it's, if you are familiar with Instagram Reels, they kind of ripped that off of TikTok. It is, has a very natty algorithm for figuring out what you like and feeding it to you. My TikTok personally, people think it's all like kids dancing. Mine is full of middle-aged lesbians making vegan recipes.
And that is, maybe I should be on it.
I really highly recommend it. I think it's very interesting. I mean, yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's these links to, you know, the Chinese government having funding in it and stuff like that and ownership of it. Whether China's agenda is to influence Western youth to make feta pasta and talk about the coastal grandma aesthetic, I don't know. Because that seems to have been its main influence on Western culture. if that does end up being the downfall of Western democracy, then maybe.
Look,
maybe.
It's a really slow burn, okay?
It's a real... You know. It would be a master play. I would respect it so much if it ended up that sort of baking cherry tomatoes and feta whilst wearing a white company cardigan was the end of our times. Fair play.
From a political perspective, how important is this ruling, though?
Well, I think for the end user, as Daniel's very articulately explained, like I'm not sure it will mean a great amount in terms of people's day-to-day use of the apps. I mean, it's significant because it speaks to an escalating Cold War and obviously an enormous amount of suspicion between these two sides, if you will. Obviously, we also have in the background a conversation recently about Chinese spies in Parliament and security measures that need to be taken. So I think within that context, it's obviously quite significant. But in terms of TikTok, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what ByteDance are going to do. But this ruling allows them to divest whatever shares or stakes are being held by the Chinese government. I don't know to what extent that is significant or what problem that might be. But in theory, they could just divest those and then they would just keep on going. So actually, there's an opportunity for them to continue being present in the States. So, I don't know, maybe we should take it with a pinch of salt about this ruling.
I mean, we do have pictures of a protest there with lots of people holding up, you know, don't take away my TikTok signs, which seem to have been very professionally produced. made in China.
Yeah. This sign is very funny because it just says, TikTok helped me grow my business.
Good for you.
Yeah, one, that sounds like a tagline from TikTok, which I don't think is helping their sense about, like, you know, free speech on the platform. But also, I just thought that, you know, aren't protest signs meant to be like punny and silly and Just literally, TikTok helped me grow my business. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I need to workshop that one a little bit.
Or is it genius? Like, they know it's going to be photographs. They're like, let's pump this full of adverts.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she doesn't say what the business is.
All the protesters are flossing while they're doing it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Now, would you go on a ship called Titanic 2? Aussie mining magnate Clive Palmer wants to build a replica of the famous iceberg-hitting liner that killed 1,500 people on its maiden voyage in 1912. He's scheduled a maiden voyage for his ship from Southampton to New York in 2027. Coco, is he mad or what?
I think he's just very rich. He's very, very rich, and he can. I mean, he pretty much said in his press conference when people asked him, is this a hoax? Is this publicity for his company, which actually does work in the cruise sector? Mm. And he said, no, I have enough money to build the Titanic 10 times over. So he's really...
He's going to do 10 of them.
I don't know about that. But you know that idea, if you've got it, flaunt it. Mm. That's him. This is this guy.
Right.
I mean, look, it might not happen. There's already been an enormous amount of backlash towards it. He will have to spend a lot of money on various legal challenges. I think, you know, there's concern from the tourism sector. And he has had previous work on the Titanic 2 suspended when there was a dispute between his company and a Chinese company. So, look, I mean, it doesn't sound like it's the most... smooth sailing. Hello.
No. Oh, I see what you've done there.
So I think we can maybe take all of this with a pinch of salt. But nonetheless, yes, there is a man. His name is Clive. He's a bit bonkers. And I think, he's trying to build a Titanic 2.
Daniel, you're a fan of villains. Mm. Where does Clive Palmer rank on the villain scale?
I think he's on there, but I think he's around the level of... there's a real Jurassic Park energy radiating from him. He doesn't look... worlds away from Richard Attenborough. Mm. You can imagine him with sort of a cane with a piece of, well, not amber, but like an old cog off the original Titanic.
Is that a thing off a ship?
The famous shipping cog.
Yeah. Okay, good, good.
I'm a big fan. My favourite quote from him, well, I've got two. One, he's saying the new ship will be far superior to the original. It's like, I don't think it needs to be better. I mean, the original one fully sank. So, like, you really... does need to be quite a lot better.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more fun to do the Titanic than sitting around and counting money, as if those are the only two options for a rich man. Go to the Maldives. Like, have a massage, for God's sake. Yeah, I really like... I like the Jurassic Parkness of it, the sort of doomed revival. It just needs, like, Jeff Goldblum aboard the ship as it sails away, going, death finds a way.
A couple of velociraptors in the hold.
It feels like...
diving it up.
It feels like the natural successor to that Glasgow Willy Wonka experience. Yeah. Is the Titanic 2.
Either of you book a ticket?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely
Titanic
no.
2.
I mean, I find it odd that the enormously wealthy are obsessed with the Titanic. Because those guys went down in the
submersible.
The submersible.
Yes.
That
very
didn't
recently.
End well. That
no,
was quite
it didn't
a high profile.
Well, no. Quite famously unwell ending.
You know, like, let sleeping dogs lie, let sleeping ships leave them.
It really feels like tempting. If there are any God of the Seas out there, you would be watching it being like, oh, this is delicious.
Yeah. go on, have another go.
Come on,
go
bitch.
On. Let's see what we do next. Now on Paper Cuts, flex your puns and get ready to bench press the headlines of the day. What do you have for us, Coco? You've got the Daily Star, proud to love animals.
Proud to love animals and proud to love trees. Because in today's edition, they have a stonking pun. So it's about the story that there's more giant redwoods in the UK than in California. And the headline is tremendous.
Oh, yeah,
They are very big. They're very large. On the same page, we have an excuse to print a picture of a chuckle brother. And it is a picture of one of the chuckles. I'm so sorry. I don't know the difference between the chuckles.
Oh, my God.
I think this one is Paul Chuckle.
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Barry?
The late Barry Chuckle.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, in that case, it probably is the alive one.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Okay, so it's Paul Chuckle, and it's a photo of him as he is taking a business class or first class flight, and he just looks very pleased, and they've printed that picture, and the headline is, "To me, to flu."
Hey!
Oh.
See what we did there?
I'm glad he's got a nice flight after we've been so horrible about him this morning, poor man.
And then we also have, just overleaf, a story about a chart star called Callum Scott that I have not heard of, but that's not relevant. And the headline is, he's about to become a solo parent. The headline is, I'll be dadding on my own.
Oh, that's good. Good. Congratulations.
Because he covered Robin's Dancing on My Own.
Oh, is it?
That one.
See, I love it when a headline's like that. It's a bit like when you have a sort of tasty canapé. You're like, it's tasty. Oh, what's that after flavour?
Yeah.
It's it's like
it's someone explaining the joke.
Exactly. You eat it first.
The height of comedy.
Daniel, you've got the Super Soraway son. What have you got for us in there?
Okay, we've got a really gorgeous photo of the Pope with his hat being blown off in the wind. And they have titled this Pope and the Holy Gust.
Oh,
which I really like.
That's good. Yeah.
Then we have a story about the fact that David and Victoria Beckham are up for a BAFTA for the documentary that they did, or the docuseries. And it's for best moment in TV. And it's the bit where they, she's trying to make up that she's like a working class. She's trying to make out that she had a working class upbringing. David's like, and what did your dad pick you up in? A Rolls Royce. And they have called that To Become One.
One
as in W-O-N. To Become One.
Actually, that's not bad.
It's not awful.
Yeah.
It's not Pope and the Holy Ghost.
No, but you know, it's respectable.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Thursdays are the danger zone for the features sections because it's the day the Daily Mail does its female magazine. Are you a woman? Well, female says you're crap. And today they've given us their star hater, the impossibly beautiful Samantha Brick. She got famous for writing a piece about how she was too beautiful to have any female friends. And there she is in the paper today, shimmering in silk-cut purple satin with the headline, "In a highly provocative confession that will enrage many, Samantha Brick says, I've never been dumped because I understand what men really want and I always make sure I give it to them." Coco, what do men really want?
Well, it appears that Samantha Brick thinks that all men are exactly the same.
Yes.
And all women are exactly the same.
Thank God. It makes things so much easier.
It's so much easier. And it turns out that what men want is to be told that they're always right and to feel that they are constantly a satisfactory lover and a satisfactory partner. And the way to make changes in a relationship, if you are dissatisfied, according to Samantha Brick, is to make them feel that they are the ones making the decision. It's all very... Do you remember that film, My Big Fat Greek Wedding? And there was a character in that who was like, the man, he's the head of the family, but the woman, she is the neck. And that, the neck turns the head. And that is basically 3,000 words to say, women, you are necks. That's right. What this is. As usual, it couldn't be a Samantha Brick piece without unwittingly or wittingly kicking down at other women. So she talks about, you know, too many women are Bridget Jones cliches who can't find love, can't manage relationships. They're actually very simple and it's all about being ballsy but also being demure because those are not contradictory. And also she spends some time outlining previous relationships. Some of them were not successful. So you would normally think that someone bragging in a paper about how they get everything right in relationships would maybe not be on their second or third marriage. but nonetheless.
But the important thing is she dumped them. Mm.
Yes. Right. Yes, she dumped them in often quite cold ways and seems to be fine with that. So, yes, it's definitely a win for women. And by women, I mean one woman, Samantha Brick. Mm-hmm. It's a win for her.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Would you date Samantha Brick?
If I were a woman, yes, I would. I want to be Samantha Brick. I love her so much. I think she's the most brilliant character ever written, whether by herself or God. Just like so many brilliant quotes, like the Bridget Jones thing that Coco just mentioned. I'd far rather women read about feminine trailblazers like me than those boohoo Bridget Jones cliches. It's just... What's the secret to never being ditched? For once, I don't think it's just down to my looks, my figure, my general loveliness, and my unshakable confidence, but it's so wonderful.
Oh my God, I love her.
My favourite bit is early, really, really early on, she's talking about an ex, and she goes, a banker, he has a gorgeous flat in Maida Vale. It's kind of full of, his national insurance number is J239. His mother's maiden name. It's
really... I've just traced the outline of his key in this
place. Yeah, and his dick. Like, everything is in this. I think she's just brilliant. Also, like, the never being dumped thing. I've never been dumped. Well, never in my life. I have a really great technique if anyone wants to achieve that as well. It's when they sit you down and say, we need to talk, you just quickly go, you're dumped. And then you got there first and everything's fine.
Maybe that's what she does. Is that what men actually want?
Well, I mean, the way she makes it sound is that, you know, men will just get up and pick themselves up and so therefore don't dilly-dally. You know, when you've had enough, just leave. And there is a part of me that thinks, okay, well, maybe there is something in that. Plenty of women stay in unhappy relationships because the pain of separation is too much. But then at the same time, I keep thinking to myself, are you sure they were okay with it? Are you 100% sure? Because she definitely has this ongoing narrative about men as being strong and silent. And Clint Eastwood... I had no idea there were so many Clint Eastwoods around.
Really? Oh, is that what they are? The strong, silent ones?
Well, I mean, yeah, according to this anyway.
Right. Cowboys that might shoot you. Okay, well, I mean, you know, all men are the same, so few.
Yeah.
From Daniel.
I mean, the only thing I would also say, just on a serious point, if any young women are reading this, please ignore everything she says and just remember that nothing counts before you're 30.
Daniel, as well, I hear we've got some major breaking news just coming through. There is a new frontrunner to replace Prue Leaf.
Yeah,
on
thank
Bake
you.
Off.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought the role of this podcast for the country was to actually talk about the important things, and yes. I felt it was quite a snub that it wasn't mentioned earlier on, but that's fine. It is top running that the people, Channel 4 insiders, think that Prue Leaf, who may be going on a break from Bake Off, may well be replaced by Nigella Lawson. Saint Nigella. I'm ridiculously excited. I consider myself something of a royal correspondent, but for Nigella. I actually can do no wrong. I would be absolutely thrilled and delighted. I wouldn't really want to see anything from the contestants, though. I just want an hour of Nigella walking around with that music behind her. I hope they like redo the Bake Off music as well to just give it a bit of a jazz twist, just to make it authentically her. Yeah. Instead of it being on in a tent, it's on like a Dutch barge.
Yeah. And no other presenters or...
No, just her sort of swooning over a bowl of cream. Paul Hollywood tries to talk and she goes, shut the fuck up, and then carries on.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Coco Khan.
Thank you.
Thanks to Daniel Fox.
Oh, thank you.
And don't forget the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. From £3.60 a month for all this, fewer ads and more of the good stuff. Head over to back.papercutsshow.com and follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our gorgeous supporters for helping to make the show today.
Cheers to Ruth Wiles and David Howsham.
Thanks a million to Becca Thomas and Helen Foreman.
Your gents, Mark Bronson and Andrew Stewart. I've been Alex von Tunzelman, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when locals in Fukuyama, Japan, have been told not to approach a cat that has gone on the run from a metal plating plant after it fell into a vat of dangerous hexavalent chromium. Remember, stay away from the toxic pussy. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelman with Coco Khan and Daniel Fox. The producer was Liam Tate. Assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, Design by Jim Parrott, with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boitosh, managing editor is Jacob Jarvis, and group editor is Andrew Harrison. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.